Made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, welcoming Danu on Tuesday, December 6th, for a presentation of Christmas in Ireland. More information is at krannertcenter.com.
It's 12:37. Cloudy skies and northerly breezes kept cool conditions around central and southeast Illinois through the morning hours. Mid-morning temperatures range from the mid to upper 30s. A low-pressure system spinning over the Tennessee Valley brought rain showers as far north as the Ohio Valley. The low-pressure system will be the dominant weather feature for the central and eastern U.S. for the next couple of days. As the low tracks to the northwest, rain will overspread much of eastern and central Illinois later today and tonight. Rain will continue in these areas on a Tuesday with locally heavy rain possible from eastern Illinois on into Indiana. As colder air filters on in the backside of the system, the rain could change over to snow in eastern Illinois and Indiana for tomorrow afternoon and evening before the precipitation shifts off to the northeast. Blustery northerly winds will develop today, and they'll continue into tomorrow evening. High temperatures today will reach into the mid-30s to mid-40s across much of the Midwest. Lows tonight will range from the 20s in Iowa to near 40 along the Ohio Valley. The forecast around Champaign-Urbana today, a chance of light rain this afternoon, the high 42 degrees. For tonight, rain, the temperature around 38 degrees, north wind gusts up to 20 miles an hour. Rain expected tomorrow morning, a chance of rain or snow in the afternoon, little or no accumulation expected. Windy with a high of 42, north wind gusts up to 35 miles an hour. Blustery conditions tomorrow night with snow likely and a chance of evening rain. There's a chance of snow after midnight with light snow accumulation possible, the low 28 degrees. Sunny skies Wednesday with a high of 40. Mostly clear Wednesday evening, the low 25. Mostly sunny Thursday, the high 42. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, the low 28. Decreasing clouds Friday with a high of 38. Friday night, mostly clear, the low 25. Mostly sunny Saturday, the high 40. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy with a low of 32 degrees. Mostly cloudy Sunday, there's a chance of morning rain or snow and a chance of afternoon rain, the high 42 degrees. Right now at Willard Airport, we have 37 degrees, 36 in Danville, 37 in Decatur, 39 in Rantoul, and 38 on Friends Plaza in Urbana at 1240. With more U.S. children becoming overweight, many parents are wondering how to talk with their children about weight without giving them a poor body image. One program for families in Silicon Valley is both straightforward and successful. Here's Sarah Varney of member station KQED.
It's already been a long day at school and a long day at work for most of these families. Yet here they are, gathered in a Stanford Hospital classroom in Menlo Park at 5:30 in the evening, cheerfully sorting through pizza boxes and canned soup to learn about what's in their food.
Okay, we'll take one more question and then unfortunately we have to end. Yes.
What if you have a family member who's picky?
The children here are all in the highest percentile for body mass index, or BMI, and they've signed up with their parents for a 6-month healthy eating and exercise boot camp. After the class, I meet up with Gabriel Rodriguez, an 11-year-old, sparkly-eyed, self-confessed burrito lover, and his mom.
Hi. Good to see you.
Gabriel graduated from the program a few months ago, and he and his mom, Gloria Arteaga, are here tonight for their monthly check-in with their health coach, Thea Runyon.
All right, Gabriel, you know the drill. Take your shoes off.
Gabriel and his mom meet Thea every month to measure his weight and height and talk about how well he's sticking to his exercise and healthy eating goals. The program is designed around a traffic light system. Soda and cookies are reds. Other foods are yellows or greens. Reds aren't banned, but kids do set goals for bringing down how many they eat each month.
Same.
They keep track of what they eat in a journal, the snacks after soccer practice, the pizza at school.
Okay, so let's take a look at your charts. So when you started the program, you were eating 90 red lights.
Yes. The chart shows Gabriel has reduced his red lights from 90 to 30 a month, and he's pretty much stuck with it. Program director Cindy Zedek says kids gradually cut back the amount of junk food they eat, so it doesn't feel like a big change. This isn't a diet, Zedek makes clear, a word that they never use with kids or parents.
You're really signing up for 6 months of learning how to improve your eating and exercise habits for your lifetime. It's not a diet that you're on and then you're off at the end of the 6 months. This will give you the tools to continue to make these changes for your lifetime.
Those changes also include exercise. Kids set goals around playing or doing sports for an hour each day. Often the hardest part for parents, Zedek says, is figuring out how to talk to their kids about weight.
A lot of parents call and say that their child has very high self-esteem, feels very confident, is very active, but they're overweight. So they don't want to bring up their weight because they don't want to make them feel badly about it if it's not a current concern for them.
The last thing a parent wants is to saddle a child with a self-image problem or eating disorder. So instead, Zedek encourages parents to tell their child that the whole family could stand to be healthier, and the program is something they can do together. Thea Runyon, the health coach, says often, though, there are plenty of clues that a child actually wants help. For example, Gabriel asked his mom if he was fat. Other kids complain they can't keep up during soccer or basketball. But Runyon says parents, out of embarrassment or nervousness or their own issues with weight or food, can dismiss the problem.
I think what happens when this issue comes up at home is a parent is quick to say, oh no, nothing's wrong, everything's fine, you're wonderful, I love you, instead of listening and saying, okay, are they actually asking for help?
The program here at Stanford has an enviable success rate. Since 1999, about 80% of the kids who finished have achieved their body weight goals. Although most of the families here were referred by a pediatrician, health insurers won't pay for it. Instead, the costs are largely covered by grants for low-income families, while others pay out of pocket. For Gabriel, he says being with other kids who are overweight and trying to get healthier has kept him going.
It's not like I'm the only person in the world. I know there are other people out there like me.
For tweens and teens who are still growing, the goal is not to shed pounds, but to maintain a healthy weight. Gabriel is closing in on his health goals. His weight is staying about the same, but he's growing taller and clearly growing into himself. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Varney.
High-speed rail once seemed inevitable, the next step in the evolution of our country's transportation network. But with the recession, those hopes are fading. Ohio, Florida, and Wisconsin have all scrapped their proposals for high-speed rail. In California, there's still a lot of enthusiasm, but as Amy Stanton of member station KQED reports, the plan for a bullet train linking Los Angeles to San Francisco is now in danger of derailing.
A few years ago, an interviewer asked former state senator Quentin Kopp whether he was optimistic about high-speed rail in California. He said,
I am convinced. I'm a believer. It's feasible.
But Kopp, who once served on the board of the High-Speed Rail Authority, now says he has serious concerns.
It is certainly not the project which I had in mind and others had in mind. It's a different kind of system.
It's a common sentiment these days, especially since officials announced recently that costs for the train have swelled to $98 billion. That's triple what voters were told to expect in 2008. And the basic concept itself, multiple trains that would take you from L.A. to San Francisco in fewer than 3 hours, has become a goal rather than a guarantee. Kopp says he fears that will be a deal breaker.
It's not going to be attractive, in my opinion, to riders. And you need riders.
Ridership gets to the real heart of this controversy. Who will pay for high-speed rail? So far, the state has enough money in voter-approved state bonds and in stimulus cash to break ground on the initial stretch of rail. But to finish it, they'll need a lot more. Planners are counting on $55 billion from the federal government over the next decade. But that's going to be a tough sell, especially after Congress voted earlier this month to eliminate high-speed rail funding in 2012. The state is also counting on private investors, banks, or venture capitalists that would be willing to help cover the costs. But where are they?
I was told in my office that we were going to have private investment early on.
That's Assemblyman David Valadao, a Republican at a recent high-speed rail hearing.
And people were lining up to do this.
Yes,
and now the business plan has changed. And it's different in the book than what I was told.
Assemblymember,
I will. Why would I have faith in the system as is now?
The investors are out there, responded Rolf Van Ark, CEO of the High Speed Rail Authority. Really?
The people that want to fund these projects do speak to us, and they still continue to speak to us.
Van Ark and other officials say they believe investors will eventually pony up. Why? Because they'll see that railways, unlike roads, can actually turn a profit through ticket sales. Here's Mike Rossi, chair of the High Speed Rail Authority.
These things last for 100 years, and they cover their operating, maintenance, and capital refreshment. I don't know any road that does that.
But that's only true if people actually ride high-speed rail. And this is a concern, particularly since the first section to be built isn't near L.A. or San Francisco. It's in the largely agricultural Central Valley.
I mean, it's what's gotten the project so much ridicule. It's the bullet train to nowhere.
Richard White teaches at Stanford University, and he's written about the history of railroads in this country. White says from a financial standpoint, there are just too many things already starting to go wrong with the high-speed rail plan.
This one is in a state which essentially is failing to fund its university system, is failing to fund K-12 education. To propose to spend $100 billion on this is frankly ridiculous.
We built Hoover Dam in the middle of the 1930s in the midst of the Depression.
Congressman Jim Costa represents the Central Valley, where the first leg of the rail would be built.
We didn't need the water then, we didn't need the electricity then, but we knew we would need the water and we would need the electricity.
Whether Californians may someday need high-speed rail isn't so much the debate these days. It's whether the state can afford it today. For NPR News, I'm Amy Standen in San Francisco.
A few years ago, Congress ordered the Pentagon to screen all troops for brain injuries and to test them before and after deployment.
The Army seems to be fighting us on this.
Troops are slipping through the cracks.
I can see firsthand the soldiers that have not been treated, misdiagnosed, and then they struggle.
The testing debacle, that's later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
Hey, how'd you like to help this radio station and spiff up your driveway at the same time?
What are we doing? Going into the pavement?
And you can do it all on the web.
To learn more, call 866-789-8627.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 28th of November, 2011. It's the birthday of William Blake, born London, 1757, son of a haberdasher, wanted to be an artist, started seeing visions in childhood. He saw God's face at the window and a tree filled with angels' bright angelic wings bespangling every bough like stars. Throughout his life, he claimed to converse freely with dead loved ones, with the archangel.